Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International on Progress Over Perfection this Ramadan. We start off with life lessons today on the program. Like I said just before we went to break, I said today we look at being kind, you know, the life lesson of be kind. Life is hard. You know, this is our test for many people. Yes, some people have it easier than others. But you know, on a daily basis, no matter what we think someone else has, where they are in life, what sort of experiences they're having, what is truly going on. And so for me, the life lesson for today is just be kind, because you really don't know what the next person is going through. To be kind to those that are closest to us. And I always say this on the programs, because I think I struggle with it the most as well, is the idea that those who are closest to us, which is our spouses and our children and our parents and, you know, all those within our closest family unit, our siblings, etc., we tend to give them a harder time than everyone else. And yeah, that's part of life, because, you know, we have so many interactions with them. But whether it be our family, our friends, our neighbors, those we pass on the street, perhaps for, even if not forever, then maybe just for the month of Ramadan, we can just try this concept in this life lesson of being kind. So that's basically, you know, a very short, brief overview of the life lesson today, because I really want to get into today's program, and I know it's going to be, inshallah, a really good one to speak about. My guest on the line is Sister Taslim Ahmed Basha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah for being with us on Radio Islam International once again. It's always lovely having you, because I do know that the conversation will possibly go in some form of a direction where, you know, we've spoken about what we're going to talk about, but then we also will probably take a little bit of a detour, because that's what we often do. But before we go on our detour, let's just talk about the concept and idea of why we're talking about this topic in Ramadan and why now.
So our topic today is, you know, maintaining calm and focus during Ramadan. And obviously every year this is something so many of us all over the world are challenged with. But I think this year it's even more relevant, because despite the anger coming up, we have this on our minds, on our hearts, of what is happening in Palestine. It's really brought a different perspective to so many things in our lives. And definitely it will color our Ramadan and how we navigate our Ramadan, even emotionally.
I do think, you know, and I don't know if you feel it too, and I know everyone's feeling it. Like you mentioned, we cannot have a conversation on calm and focus this Ramadan without talking about and bringing in the fact that everyone, even our children, are affected by what is happening in Palestine. It is very, very difficult to pull yourself away from that. Or we shouldn't even be trying to pull ourselves away from that, let's be honest. But we've also got to find a space, you know, got to find that space where we can find that focus. Because I sometimes find, and we just talk briefly about this and then we'll go into the program, is that we get so stuck on having to see what is going on that we sometimes forget to make dua.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. We have this, I think it's almost a need, obviously, to want to keep up, and not necessarily to keep up to be informed. You don't want to seem like a bad ally. When someone else brings up the topic of, did you see this and did you hear this, you don't want to say, no, actually I didn't, because we feel that marks us as disinterested, uncaring, those kinds of things. So I think almost it's like a safety mechanism that we put into place. We want to stay informed so that we can present even to our peers, to our families and our friends, that, hey, I do care. And maybe it's time to normalize saying, actually, no, I didn't see that. Because especially now in Ramadan again, a lot of us are taking time away from online to complete our ibadah, our kibbutz, our families, all of those type of things. And it doesn't mean that we don't care. We've got to normalize it for ourselves first. Not keeping up doesn't mean that we don't care. We can still, and we should still be making dua. We know very well what the situation is, but it has been for decades. And but it will probably continue to be Allah granted victory soon, ameen. But normalizing that for ourselves, it's okay to not keep up and to not be continuously informed, especially in this month, doesn't mean we are not generally a way of making dua.
Now, we in this time of Ramadan, it's a sacred month. We want to have this journey. We want to have a journey of inner peace. We want to have a journey of self-discovery. We want to have the peace and tranquility Ramadan brings. I think you and I, from a female perspective, can speak about it from that perspective. And, you know, perhaps it makes sense to the males as well. But as moms and wives, we end up being overly stressed in this month, almost overly stimulated to a point where this program of progress over perfection is literally makes so much of sense in this topic really today, because we're trying to strive for perfection, or trying to get everything right in every avenue, from the physical avenue, physical perspective of being strong. We have to wake up every day, make sure we're not late for Siri, from cooking and cleaning or doing whatever household chores, maintenance. Then from the spiritual perspective, we want to make sure that, you know, we're all there. From a mental perspective, from an emotional perspective, there's just so much. And so I really think today's topic is important from so many avenues of what are we doing to ourselves as women, and how is it that we can actually find that focus, we can find that spiritual peace, we can find that calmness this Ramadan. So we're going to start from the basics of what are some of the common stresses, Tasneem, that many people experience during Ramadan. And, you know, how are some of the ways? Well, let's just start with the common ones, and then we'll navigate into how we're going to deal with those stresses.
So, it was very funny because today I did message you about this before we got on the program. This is our topic, calm and focus. And this morning I was so rushed. I was definitely not calm. I was like, am I going to have the focus to be in this interview? Because I had to rush my cat to the vet. Like, when she was really sick, and just made it in time. And it's like, yeah, Allah is teaching us really that this year, you know, how to have that calm, how to put our trust in Him. But I'd say one of our main stresses, personally, you know, also from what I hear from many people, clients included, and I see this, is time. We have that stress of time is on us, especially as women and as mothers. We have that stress of time. That is a major, major one. And second to that, I would say, is physical exhaustion. Not exhaustion, at least tiredness. And those two things together, those are a recipe for disaster. I'm short on time, I'm short on energy, plus I have so many things to achieve and to accomplish before a certain time of the day. You know, the iftar is coming, or we have, the first 10 days, second 10 days, before we know it, Eid is here, I have to get this and this done. Perhaps we invite people over for iftar. There's so many almost deadlines that we have. And those two together, just a recipe for disaster. That's a perfect storm brewing by day. So as long as we know that, we can acknowledge it for ourselves, that, hey, I'm stressed by a limited time, and I'm stressed by my physical capacity, my tiredness, my exhaustion. Acknowledgement is half the battle won.
Acknowledgement has happened for me. Acknowledgement has happened for me for years, right? For as many years as we've been mothers, that acknowledgement is there of, I am so exhausted, but I'm going to do things differently this Ramadan. I'm so exhausted, I don't have enough time, but I'm going to do things differently this Ramadan. And each Ramadan comes, and every one of us have got the same thing that we are dealing with. We're dealing with the guilt of being too exhausted and chasing time. Let's just talk about the guilt of it before we look at any solutions.
And the guilt of it, and we can say it, we can acknowledge it, and as much as we can acknowledge it, a lot of people actually don't. So for anybody who's listening and does not actually acknowledge this for themselves, that I feel short on time and I feel short on physical energy, because you feel you're supposed to sort of power through it. It's okay, give yourself permission. You are allowed to acknowledge that these things are a challenge for you, right? So yes, we can acknowledge it for ourselves, but then, like you say, we have that dialogue with ourselves, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And the key word there being, I am. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need to do it in community. And one of the ways we do it in community is by normalizing it and saying, hey, I'm short on time. And it can be simple things where, for example, I'm not going to be replying to everybody's chats the way that I used to. I'm not looking at my phone. And if anybody gets upset, you know, putting that down for ourselves, if anybody gets upset, you know, put up a status if you have to, but like for the first 10 days at least, or for the whole month, whatever it is for you, I am not available to simply respond. Okay. If you're working at an incorporate, I get that that's different. But again, as much as you possibly can pull back from that interaction, yeah, we can do that. Those are things that, that guilt that's there is because we don't have community support. But even talking about it, that, you know, these are things where I'm feeling challenged with, I'm feeling stressed with. So we can normalize it for each other, and that reduces the guilt.
Yeah.
Being able to say, I'm not coming out to that, you know, I'm at home.
Yeah. I want to jump in there, though. I want to jump in there and ask you something, because there may be listeners who do the two extremes. The one listener may say, you know, it's okay, I still have enough time in Ramadan. There's the first 10 days, I'll get into the second 10 days. They stay, you sort of stay online, stay, you know, with it, make sure every message is responded to, etc. Then on the other extreme, you may get people who say, I'm cutting myself off completely for the month of Ramadan, not from socials or groups or, you know, those kind, but from everyone. And family and extended family included, and so then people are offended by that. Is it important? And I ask this, and you can, I mean, I feel the middle road is important, but you tell me from your perspective, is the middle road important, or is it that in the month of Ramadan we should not be worried about offending others?
No,
I know it's
Islam
a
tough
question.
Moderation.
Yeah.
No, to me it's very simple. Islam is moderation. I mean, everybody has unique circumstances. We always have to take our own context into consideration. You know, what's manageable for us in the different dimensions, like you mentioned earlier, physically, spiritually, mentally, all of those types of things. But we don't want to... This is a time where even, you know, the sunnah is rewarded as first. So those things like keeping family ties, being in the khidmat of others... You want to moderate yourself, yes, because as, again, as mothers, we have a tendency to overextend because we don't want anybody to feel bad, you know, feel bad in Ramadan. That's not our job. But we've got to moderate. We can't go to either extreme. Islam is moderation through that. But I would say that there is, because of the time being so short, literally because of the time, it's just 30 days, 29, 30 days. You only have that much time. You want to prioritize your ibadah, your own ibadah, your personal ibadah, whatever those goals are. But to the exclusion and to the extent of offending and hurting others, I don't think that that's what Allah intends for us, no.
And I think if we're really honest with ourselves, if we do look at our phones and our social media and our WhatsApp and our Instagram, etc., it is not the, you know, the few messages you would get from perhaps, you know, family members or friends, etc., that, you know, just asking how you're doing or wishing you Ramadan Mubarak or, you know, needing a bit of assistance, whatever. I don't think those are the things that take up the bulk of our time. I think in order for us to find this focus and composure, Tasneem, I think we need to talk about what are those things that are killing our time. And if we were really honest with ourselves, it's not going to be those things we're trying to do good or we're trying to keep relations. It's going to be those things that are time wasters. It's going to be those things where we got lost in our phone because we watched, you know, a post and it just carried on for hours or whatever, or we, you know, found the need to go e-shopping for many hours, even though we're not keeping constant communication. Whatever it is, for each person will be separate. But I know it's a very tough conversation to have, but it's an important one, because I do think that many of us don't want to acknowledge where our time is going. We don't want to acknowledge when, you know, we feel that there's this loss in time because we just feel like, you know what I'm doing is okay. And just to comment on that quickly, and then let's go to, you know, really looking at the nitty-gritties of the practical tips of maintaining composure.
Yeah, it's 100% brilliant question, brilliant comment. We have this. We're losing, basically what I'm hearing you say is we are losing a lot of, too much time, in fact, on our cell phones. We are losing a lot of time on our cell phones. And I want to say, for those people who are like, oh, yeah, that's me, it's not a discipline issue. It's not because you're less pious. It's not because you don't care about Ramadan. It's because you don't have a big enough emotional narrative and you don't have a strong enough emotional connection, not spiritually even, but to those around you and even to your own self and to your own life. And yeah, that would be my comment on this last part.
All right. Now, looking at, you know, keeping calm and composed, it may seem that there may be practical tips for it, but how individualized is this before we go into some of the tips we want to talk about?
Every individual, I'm going to start with at the other extreme of calm and focus, which is stressed and scattered for me. Those are the words that come up, and everybody should find the words that come up for them as the opposite of calm and focus. What is that for you? And it comes from not being able to hold space for ourselves when we are in those states, when we are stressed, when we are chaotic, when we are, you know, burning the candle at both ends, when we are, you know, in a really bad mood that day, when we are really angry, really irritable, really emotional, and we don't hold space for ourselves, we cannot then expect ourselves to just suddenly make space for calm and focus. It's almost like rejecting one child completely, focusing only on the child that's so-called good, and then expecting to be called a good parent. It doesn't work. So that's where we need to start, is making those, there's no such thing as negative emotions, but making those emotions safe, being a safe space for those emotions for ourselves, especially for our children, and then moving from there into calm and focus.
Now, before we talk about calm and focus, you mentioned this, you know, we've got to find those words, we've got to find the spaces, we've got to find, is it important for each of us, perhaps after this program, or maybe those that are listening during the program, to sit down with a piece of paper and say, what are those, you know, where are those moments of absolute calm and focus that I feel? Because it's not like we're not all over the place all the time. I'm sure each of us finds a little pocket of calm somewhere in the day, but it's just too little. It's almost like a little snippet of the day, and we want that to extend to longer periods of the day. And so when we look at, let's look at practically, Tasneem, when we look at a woman's life, and we're going to look at it from our perspective once, like I said again, is Seri Iftar. Those are the two times where it is said that most your du'as, it's the time of tahajjud, and there's a time before we break our fast. And for women, those times seem to be like, it's almost like, it's like we've got to be, for lack of a better word, on steroids at Seri and at Iftar to be able to make sure that everyone's okay and everything's okay and everyone's taken care of. And then in that small little 30-second snippet before Adhan goes, we've got to make ourselves feel better, and make dua, and then we feel like, okay, I got something in here. You know, and I feel that is... maybe not everybody, but I truly believe from a South African perspective, that is our story as women. How are we going to change this narrative, and where do we start?
It's a large chunk of us. I can tell you that it's a large chunk of us. And for me, it took saying a couple of years ago, I say this every year, Ramadan, I post this on my social media, you are not put here to facilitate somebody else's fast. Your spouse, your child, anybody else, you're not put here to facilitate the fast. Yes, you can feed a fasting person. Yes, you can help them start. All of those things, mashallah, that's beautiful, that's lovely, but all of those things are commendable, but we are not here to facilitate. This is where I say we overextend ourselves into, it goes from making sure the tea is the perfect temperature to, I don't ever want anybody to be in a bad mood. Okay. The practical things that we can do is from the outset, before Ramadan starts, is pull back on that expectation that we have of ourselves. And that, yes, that does include moving away from what we see on social media, how people are preparing the whatever it is that they're making. Just like moving away from that. And please, 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 yes, absolutely, absolutely, you can get your kids from as young as 6 years old involved in both Seri and Iftar preparation or setup. Even if that means at night before Seri, oh, what are you having for Seri? I'm having ABC. Okay, can you put, for example, your cereal in the bowl, put it on the table, put your glass there, somebody cover it with a net, you know, whatever it is. One kid can get the plates out, somebody else can get the glasses out if they don't want to do it, you know, one child is doing. There can be so much involved in putting the kajur on the table. So, like you say, those two times are so beneficial. They're so blessed. And we are running around doing so much, doing everything. They absolutely can and should be shared.
Do we appease ourselves, Tasneem? Do we appease ourselves in these moments? And I'm saying because I do it to myself, right? And that's why this conversation is so important, is because we each feel different snippets of it. Is do we appease ourselves by the thinking that, oh, we are getting the reward of looking after our family, number one. And the second part I appease myself with is I'm making zikr while I'm doing this. I'm making zikr while I'm doing this, right? Are we really drawing it, like clutching at straws here, when in fact we should be, for like whatever amount of time before iftar, be sitting just in calm and composure, making dua? Because I know we all say this to ourselves. I know, you know, and I'm supposed to be making dua, but at least I'm making zikr because I'm looking after my family. How, I mean, it's, you mentioned before, it's 30 days. I mean, we're just losing days as they go. And then the guilt starts showing up and we start feeling, and that's where we're going to talk about irritability, my next question. But are we appeasing ourselves too much?
Well, if the question comes up for you, then perhaps you are. I would say that. I would, if the question, if it presents in that way, am I just appeasing myself, which means to me then it's not fulfilling you. What you are currently doing is not fulfilling you. Then perhaps it is just an appeasement. I'm not saying this, I'm not by any means a scholar. We're talking about this purely from an emotional point of view. But if that is coming up for you, that it's not giving me what I ideally what I would like to be doing, you know. Allah says, worship me with the world. You know, that, you know, go for it. Do I feel like I'm holding myself back and not really going all out? That question presents for you. Then you could be cutting yourself short. You could not, you know, withholding from your own self. And there has to be, especially when it comes to ibadat, and especially when it comes to ibadat in Ramadan, I feel certain things where there's no negotiation. I'm not negotiating. And I would say, like, tonight's right, where there's however many members of your family are there present for iftar, you know, that number of glasses of water on the table, that number of khajur, let's just put the box there. And yeah, if that time comes, everybody has the water there, some khajur, and yeah, we perform Maghrib and then we come back later. And so what if, yeah, we are going around taking the pots and putting the plates and whatever, it's fine. You would have still fulfilled your fard. You would have still fulfilled that part of you that wanted to sit and make dua. It's okay.
Yeah. I think that's an important way to look at it. Like you're saying, if the question comes up for you that I'm not doing enough, or, you know, this just doesn't feel right, then it's time to actually look at it deeper. We're going to take a bit of a break right now for some ads. When we come back, we're going to look at the issue of irritability. So I think that's an important question when we're trying to find composure. For now, a short break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, and Sister Tisneem Ahmed Pasha. We're talking, it's progress over perfection, but today we're talking about focus and calmness in the month of Ramadan. Tisneem, welcome back once again to Radio Islam. You know, fasting, the heat, long days, school days, all of it. And it's a recipe for a bit of irritability. You know, and from that, there's then, you know, kids fighting with each other. There's this conflict that happens. How do we deal with these emotions in Ramadan? First, I think we start with ourselves, and then we go over to the children and their sibling fights and the, you know, the niggling each other. I know we all experience it within our homes where the kids just, they need to irritate someone, and so they irritate their siblings. And we just become more and more and more aggravated by this. Let's start with ourselves, and then we can go on to the rest of our families.
It's exactly that. The projection, they project onto each other, and you know, onto us, and we do the same thing with them. And within our own self, starting there, again, being able to acknowledge, I am irritable right now. I'm hangry. This happened to me yesterday. My husband said something to me, and I wanted to, you know, like clap back and say something. Is like, whoa, there comes up Ramadan, that fasting anger, you know. That's what that is. That's what I'm feeling right now in my nervous system, in my body, in that, you know, the anger sensation that's rising up. And again, just acknowledging that, okay, that's what's happening, gave me more than enough time to not say something. Just recognizing what is happening in my body. So that would be like my first practical step, is noticing what is happening in my body right now. So even if you're not sure, and you can't say for sure, okay, this is, you know, anger from being hungry, you can ask yourself this question: am I perhaps angry right now, irritable right now because I'm hungry, because I'm thirsty, because I've been sitting in the car the whole morning, a whole day, whatever it is? Could this be because of that? And the answer may be yes, and the answer may be no. But you can see the amount of time that we've already taken by going into this line of inquiry, which is very, very helpful. And when that emotion comes up and it's there, not putting it down, not saying I'm a bad person, not saying I shouldn't be feeling this way, whatever comes up, saying yes, I feel, I have the feeling of, name the emotion, sit with it. Because if we cannot sit with it for ourselves and with ourselves, we can't do it for our kids, we can't teach them to do it for themselves. They're sitting with it. Not because what we do is we swallow it, we suppress it, we deny it for ourselves. Asking ourselves, where am I feeling this? What does it feel like? And you can have this questioning going on while you are going about your regular tasks, your regular day, whatever it is. And make an intention even, I would say. Make an intention. Oh Allah, I am asking these questions. I'm inquiring into my emotions as an ibadah to you. I'm trying to develop myself. I'm trying to be a better Muslim as a worship, as a service to you, as part of my Ramadan ibadah. Make that intention so we can get rewarded while we are doing it. Right? So be that safe space for the emotion. Think of the emotion as a child, as an errant child, if you have to. But for a child that you love and that you care for and that you don't want to throw out into the cold and say you're not wanted here because you're not perfect, you know. There's space for you here. Where am I feeling this in my body? What is it presenting as? Okay. Making it okay for ourselves to feel that feeling. And once you've done this a couple of times, you will then be able to say to your family, sure, I'm feeling angry right now. And it doesn't also necessarily have to be in response to something that they've said or done. Let's say you've just come out of traffic. For example, when you walk into the house, you still say to your family, wow, I'm feeling really angry, traffic really frustrated me today. Right? Be verbalizing, be normalizing. And what that does is our kids see this and they're like, okay, mommy had this feeling and she didn't make herself bad for it. Neither does she look like she's going to take it out on us or let it color the rest of the day. You know, it's okay to have these emotions. And when we notice it in our kids, been fighting, being able to say to them as well, you guys think maybe you're angry because you're fasting, because you're taking it out on each other, could that be coming up? And they're going to say, no, I'm fighting because she's a baby, and he's a baby. Like, okay, I get that. Making it okay. We don't have to make it right, but we can make it normal, we can make it okay. And that helps us accept who we are with all our dimensions much easier. And from there, like I said, we can move to calm and focus. That, cause I think it's really that dismemberment almost, if you will, like cutting off, I don't want to admit to this, or this is distasteful. I want to throw it away. I want to put it as far away from as possible from me, you know, that stops us from getting into the so-called positive states or the empowered states.
So when we look at positive states, Justine, within the month of Ramadan, when we look at calm and focus, what does that look like really? What is it in a practical sense of the word? What is calm and focus? We've spoken all about the negative emotions. We've spoken about the things that come up for us. We've spoken about how, as mothers, we're running around trying to please everybody. But when someone says, you know, I'm trying to develop calm and focus in Ramadan, what does it actually look like?
I think it's so different for everyone. I think it's so I'm looking at my own interpretation of focus, and for me specifically, it changes throughout the 10 days of Ramadan. So for the first 10 days of Ramadan, my focus is on Quran. That's my focus. So for somebody looking in from the outside, another person looking in, they are going to see that this name is not running around in a house, okay? A table is not set beautifully. Okay, somebody else is probably flying the favorites, or she doesn't really care about it. These things that people normally, and I'm not saying it's bad, I'm not saying it's good, but things that are normally a sign of focus, they are not seen to. This name is probably hidden somewhere, and she's reading a Quran. That's my focus for that 10 days. And that calms me. And my calm also in that 10 days is very much being jovial, very much laughing. Very much bringing the, you know, sort of like a positive, not positive, but more a humorous vibe, you know. I'll be joking about things, and, you know, that, especially for my kids, that is Nikon, and my focus is something else. It's very different from what I think people would normally expect to see. So I think it's very unique to each person. You have to ask yourself what works for you. So it would, again, start from not making yourself wrong initially. What is, for example, what is your idea of what calming focus is supposed to look like in a Muslim woman during Ramadan, especially a mother? What's that for you?
You know, the ability for me, I think, and you can comment when I, you know, when I'm done, is the ability for us to be able to, you know, manage what needs to be done, but without being frazzled. So even when, you know, say for example, you know, you've got a day where there's a lot that needs to be done, whether it's, because at the moment, I mean, it's pickups, drop-offs, madrasas, different times, all of that. And that comes into play very big time for many of us as mothers. And for me to be able to, first of all, not lose my cool on a day, like, you know, not get angry and irritable and take it out on everyone else, for me, that's a good day. And the calm in focus for me then would be just, you know, things, it doesn't have to be perfect, like you said, but things got to be in place. So for each person, it's different. For you, like you said, you know, leave all of that aside. And just focus on the simple things. For some of us, we may think, okay, there's certain things I feel need to be in place, whether it's for iftar, because of our different situations, our different, you know, challenges with our kids or whatever it might be. But when those things are in place a bit earlier, if I'm not frazzled, if I'm not running, if I'm not stressed, if I'm doing something, whether it's cooking or making a meal or doing whatever, but it's in a state where I'm calm and I'm making zikr, not where I'm rushed and stressed and I'm making zikr because I can't make dua in this moment of time, if that makes any sense for you.
Absolutely, you make my point pretty perfectly. It's for each one of us, it looks different. We have to be able to recognize that for ourselves, that my version of calm and focus is very different from yours. And we know each other for years, but it's about 18 years now or so. And we have so many similarities, yet our versions of what that looks like during Ramadan is very, very different.
Very different.
How can we expect it, and I mean, as a community, for our calm and focus to look like the person who we are seeing on Instagram, for example.
I feel like this is massive focus in the last couple of years, and it's almost becoming a little bit problematic in my mind, of a lot of people thinking that they need to teach others through social media and through all of these, you know, new age things of how to spend their Ramadan, how to become calm and focused, how to set up an area and how things need to look.
Yes.
How disabling is this for us? Because really, so many of us smell like food while we throw on a burqa and hope for the best. And or some of us are able to, you know, be in a beautiful, calm state, smelling really beautifully with a clean abaya on, whatever your state is. But if you are looking to, you know, be in that space where somebody said to you, you need to look this way, and you've got matching clothes from head to toe, and your dishes look beautiful. What is this doing to us as women? And I want to speak about it because it's the flip side of calm and focus. It looks all calm on Instagram, but let's try and put that into place in our homes, and it really does create a massive problem, mentally, emotionally, I think, and more so spiritually for each and every one of us.
Yes. I want to. I'm so glad you interjected and you brought it up. I was going to do it myself. But please, when you are seeing these posts on Instagram or whatever, on social media, whichever platform, remember there is a background machine. You cannot, people are literally clearing out spaces, and the camera lens just focuses on that one, what's it called? It's called an Ibadah corner where people are making cutouts of a little, you know, yes, massaging entrance with a dome and with lights and there's fluffy carpets. And I looked at that and mashallah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, really, it is. And if that works for you, by all means, I said this with full enthusiasm, do that. But for some, again, my context is I need to be walking around when I'm reading my Quran, for example. I'm walking around, I've put some clothes in the fryer, and I'm reading, right? I'm doing something else. I'm probably taking off my kids' pajamas before I put them in the shower. Put the Quran in my hand. Yes, I'm wearing something that smells like sugar. I don't have a corner that I did my bad eyes happen everywhere all the time. It's very practical. It's part of my life. So don't expect that it has to look like that. And in terms of the effect, I'm saying this as a holistic coach, especially during Ramadan, just before Ramadan, I have the highest influx of calls simply because of the amount of pressure. Number one is the pressure that women feel about how they're going to show up for themselves, not for themselves, not for their Lord, but for their families, for their in-laws, different, you know, other groups outside of themselves, right? Second thing is that I don't, the challenge that I hear, can I say the complaint, the fear that I hear, I don't feel spiritually good enough for Ramadan. Like, I don't deserve, you know, to be here because I don't have any good feelings about it. And that's why I've taken this tack today in this particular interview of making the so-called negative normal and making space for it. Because it's like, I'll give the example of an oasis. You cannot fully enjoy an oasis if you've been drinking bottled water and been in an air-conditioned airplane on your way to the oasis the entire time. You are meant to arrive there parched, spirit, in need of something to revive you. If you enter Ramadan and you are in Ramadan and you are chaotic and you feel brittle and you feel broken, yes, that is how you're supposed to arrive here. This is the deal. This is the shifa. This is the water. This is the everything that you're looking for. But when I hear this from clients, it just highlights for me the impression that people have of how they're supposed to approach Ramadan in this shiny, happy, squeaky clean sort of, you know, image. And show up perfectly. And then where's the relationship? How are we hoping to be led by Allah in terms of what ibadah is specific for you, the specific servant of mine, besides the burnt what we are expected to do? You know, what's your specific ibadah? What do you have to let go of? What do you have to inculcate more of? If we think we are already supposed to be ideal, you know, at the entrance. You know, it's very,
can you believe
unhappy,
we're at the end of
very,
the
very toxic.
Yeah. Like I said, can you believe we're at the end of today's program? I think we could speak about this for a very long time, but I think my take home is going to be that each of us needs to start looking at the emotion, the negatives. Or like you said, don't, you know, look at it in a negative way, but looking at the things that really rile us up, get us irritable, and just starting to name them, trying to find ways to just, you know, navigate through that and find ways, practical ways for us as families, as individuals, to find that space, that the way we can feel focused and calm. Like you said, if someone's walking around reading Quran and that's their focus and calm while they're looking after a baby because that's the best way they can do it, then that's theirs. Someone else can sit in a beautiful space and that's theirs. Each one of us needs to just find our space. Just maybe have like 15 seconds just to round up quickly because we've got to finish the program. What's your last words quickly for our listeners?
Yeah, so even those, again, so-called negative emotions come up, name them, and you, remember, you don't have to solve them. Ask Allah to help you with the capacity to resolve them and to work them into something that's positive for you. Make dua in that moment.
Inshallah, we all go into the rest of our Ramadan with more time, you know, focus, calmness, in whatever way we can, inshallah, so that we can feel that we've really, like you said, you know, come into Ramadan and done the best we can. Remember, progress over perfection. That's the end of today's program. Alhamdulillah. Sister Tasneem, Jazakallah so much for your time on today's program. To our listeners, until next time, it's Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.